It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web.
Live it off the wall.
Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Shan, and we have a very special guest with us on the podcast this week, and that is Bald Vinny. Yes, that is right. A bleacher creature is here taping with me today, and I'm very excited. Vinny, welcome to the Off the Wall podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm kind of surprised you guys let me in through security, but it's cool to be here. Thanks so much.
And hey, it's our pleasure to have you here, and you came bearing gifts, so I'm guaranteeing Vinny will be back on the Off the Wall podcast.
Yeah, my mom taught me to be a good guest. You always got to take care of the host if you want to get invited back.
You didn't have to do that, but it's much appreciated. And let's just jump right in here to the former Section 39.
Sure.
and where the bleacher creatures started. So tell me a little bit of background. Like, how did you get involved, first of all, and then we'll take it from there.
Really, I got involved because I worked in Midtown Manhattan, and I found that going to a game was cheap and, you know, accessible. And at the time, I was living alone, and it was sit at home and watch it on the couch by myself, or for at that time, you know, $1.50 and a $6 ticket. You know, mm-hmm. I can sit there and watch it live.
Right.
And I started going all the time, and you just fall into the right group of people. There was a lot of passionate Yankee fans out there that know the game and support the team, and they fit right in.
And you see it every game. I mean, it's like you guys are just one big dysfunctional family, but dysfunctional in a good way.
Oh, yeah, certainly
not a bad way. Yeah, I mean, it's just Yankee fan to the extreme, and you don't want to wear the opposing team's jersey in there, right?
Well, you know, we get a little bit of a rough reputation out there, you know, but the way we look at it is it's kind of disrespectful to come into our house wearing somebody else's colors, you know. Although I'll be the first one to admit we rolled to Boston 18-20 deep, all sporting the pinstripes and making a lot of noise and being obnoxious, but, you know, that's how we roll. And like I said, they're a very passionate crew out there. We love our Yankees to the death, and if you're a hardcore Yankee fan, that's where you want to sit.
Roll call. Where did you come up with this? When did it start?
It started before I got out there. Mm-hmm. You know, roll call was something that came about one afternoon. It was a weekday day game, you know, when there's not a lot going on, Right. Not a lot of people there. And it was, hey, what do you think the guys on the field can hear? You know, can we be loud enough to get first baseman to turn around? Can we be loud enough to get third base to turn around? Oh, my God, they can actually hear what we're saying. You know, and then for us, it became like an interaction that you don't get in any other sport. You know, you don't go to football games and shout out the defense and they turn around and wave to you.
No.
You know, so for us, it was, you know, it makes us feel part of the group. You know, fans are the 10th man on the field, and any Yankee fan will tell you that. Other fans cheer when stuff happens. Yankee fans cheer to make stuff happen. And we take that, you know, that's our mantra.
It's so unique. I mean, as you said, you're not going to see a football team do that, or you're not going to see a basketball team do that. No one else does it. It's only at Yankee Stadium. But in the playoffs last year, I'm not too sure about Minnesota and Anaheim, but in Philadelphia, we were at those games, and we heard roll call.
Yeah, that's super flattering. You know, that Yankee fans will try to rep us on the road. And I've met a few players over the years, and they kind of don't like it because it's disrespectful to the home team in a way, and I can certainly see that, but Yankee fans don't care, which is awesome. And, you know, you see guys in the outfield flip you a little hello behind their back or under the glove give you a little wave and stuff, and because they know they appreciate the support. You know, we are the fans that they're targeting to. You know, you have these $1,500 seats. Those aren't real Yankee fans. The real Yankee fans are the guys who sit in the bleachers and go to Modell's and buy all the gear and are on the road trips and are the first ones buying their season tickets. So, you know, I think the players realize, you know, what type of fan we are out there.
The evolution of this, it has gotten to the point where players, you know, used to just acknowledge with maybe a glove flip. But now, I mean, you got some players with some moxie and some personality, like a Swisher or someone else. And then you told me before we started taping, Gardner's even blogging about how he's going to react when he gets his first roll call. So What is that like? Like being a part of that roll call and seeing it just blow up like this and seeing the players have fun with it. I mean, they're the New York Yankees. It's the best franchise right. in the world. Yeah. So what does that mean
to you? It's unreal, you know, and people tell me all the time that, you know, you're a part of Yankee history. I'm like, you got to be kidding
me,
man.
You are.
All I do is get on a bench and yell really loud.
But you are. What you've done and what everyone in that section, what's the new section now?
203. We're in 203. It's the same spot as the old place. A lot of the same faces that were in the old section. The Yankees did a super job keeping us together. They really helped us with the relocation. And getting us, you know, in our spot and claiming our turf in the new place. But it's unreal, man. You know, we're just a rowdy bunch of kids. We like to have a good time. We like to make a lot of noise. And the fact that, you know, it's so popular is really just a testament to how many more of us are out there. You know?
You have a tight-knit group, too. I mean, you have softball outings. Sure. You go out. Tell me about that. One of your creatures died, maybe not recently, but in the short
we have a couple of guys
and you go out and you have softball outings
we do a lot of things off the field. Mm-hmm. You know, we do a Christmas party every year. I had a bunch of creatures at my wedding. I had 5 tables full of Bleacher Creatures.
Wow.
At my wedding. You know, but we do a softball tournament.
Did they do roll call for you?
No
that's
they didn't.
Disappointing.
They didn't But you know, my wife wanted to keep some of that stuff out of there. We had a live band for the ceremonies, and one of the violin players wore a Yankee hat. I think that was as much as I got away with that night. But yeah, we do a softball tournament. It's dedicated to Ollie Ramirez, who mm-hmm. was our original cowbell guy. He died in 1996, and the night of his funeral was Gooden's no hitter at the
wow.
stadium.
Anthony Greek, who's a member of the Bleacher Creatures and also works with sure. us here. Yes, he did the podcast with me a couple weeks ago. He told me about that story. I'm sorry I didn't remember the gentleman's name, but I just wanted to get out there that this isn't just something that happens at Yankee Stadium. This is something that you guys take off the field,
yep.
and that's how special this is. People really do, like box seats. I know what the chant is
yes.
after the roll call, but people that just go to a casual Yankee game, and when they leave, you know, they're still rooting for the Yankees. But they're not as tight-knit as a family as you guys in that section. And that's something I wanted to bring out, that people might not know that and see how special what you guys have really, you know, what you really have.
Yeah, we have a really core group that's really dedicated to the cause, that are really full season ticket holders that make 50, 60, 70 games a year. My opinion, you know, being that I kind of have the marketing end of it a little bit, my thought is if you were given 2 tickets, one right behind the plate and one in the bleachers, and you choose the one in the bleachers because that's where you know you're going to have a better time, then you're a Bleacher Creature.
Well, it's like Wrigley. Wrigley is just a party out there.
Sure. I mean, you choose to sit
but
with
the
us.
Difference,
you know what you're getting when you get there.
The difference between Wrigley and Yankee Stadium is it's not only a party in the bleachers. You're actually watching the game
right.
and paying attention to
sure.
the game. I mean, because you are, as you said, it's just like the extreme Yankee fan. Now, going back to the roll call, I just want to ask you one more
sure.
question. Who, over the duration, over this evolution of the roll call, who's had the best response?
Well, there's been a few really good responses. You know, Johnny Damon was the first one
to take it
onto his whole level, where, you know, getting down on one knee with a double
yeah.
finger point.
Yeah.
That was just sweet. But I mean,
I'm a big fan of the finger point.
Me too. That's like my signature move. You know, like I it's on the back of my T-shirts and everything. Like that's my move. But you know, you get a guy like Bernie Williams. It was a Thursday afternoon. It was Bernie Williams bobblehead day. And instead of turning around to wave, he puts his hands down by his side and bobbles his head back and forth. You know, something like when you get a guy like that to give you such a reaction, you know, it's really cool. And the current outfield now, everybody getting their own little thing. You know, they think about it beforehand. Curtis Granderson, before he started in center field opening day, wrote a blog about it on MLB, What Should I Do? And unfortunately, the ball was in play. I think he got a little nervous. He had no idea what to do and wound up doing nothing. But over the, you know, the next couple of days, kind of gets a feel of what we do. And like we tell guys all the time, keep playing. We'll still chant your name. Keep playing. Melky dropped a ball
yeah,
last year
because
he turned around to it.
Yeah.
Like, dude,
now, how did you
concentrate.
Guys feel after that happened? When he misplayed that ball, was there a sense of an air of guilt?
No guilt.
No,
these guys know. We'll keep going. We don't expect anybody to stop for us. That's why we don't do the pitcher and the catcher.
So you didn't take responsibility for that error?
No, I don't. They don't put me on the field, man. If I was camped under that, I would have caught the ball, then waved. That's the way to do it, you know. But,
he just had it mixed up.
He had it mixed up. He wanted to show up and say, what's up to us, catch the ball. said what's up, dropped the ball.
All right, you talked about your shirt, so let's go there.
Sure.
The marketing aspect of Bald Vinny. Now, tell us about the website. Tell us about the shirts. Tell us where people could go at the stadium to get this stuff too, because, you know, you're talking to a guy that before you showed up, I didn't know you had a website. I didn't know you were doing the shirts. And now that I do, you brought in a couple, hundreds. So I'm taken care of. But now that I know, I could check it out and see if there's anything new.
Sure.
So
lots of people ask me about it. They don't really know that aspect of it. Baldvinny.com is where you go on the internet. You can find me on River Avenue across from the old stadium right underneath the train platform. We're there every game day before and after the game. And essentially what we do is create unique sporting goods apparel for hardcore Yankee fans. You'll find anything that says Bleacher Creatures on it with me. You find a lot of the stuff, the anti-Mets, anti-Red Sox stuff. A lot of stuff that's going to make your mom blush. Those are probably Bald Vinny tees.
Right.
If they crack you up and make you laugh, that's probably one of mine as well. It's a really cool market. I have some really dedicated fans that seek me out every game, and we certainly appreciate the support. And without the shirts, I couldn't do the roll call every day. And without the roll call every day, I couldn't do the shirts. So I know it comes hand in hand. And you know, if people come hang out and want to support us, it's like wearing a shirt for your favorite band, you know? You go to an Aerosmith show, you have a great time, you're going to rock their tee. You come out in the bleachers, you have a great time. We appreciate it if you rock our tee, so.
Baldvinny.com. Now, before you go, let me ask you about the season so far. The past couple years, the Yankees really haven't gotten out to a hot start. The off season, you know, if you're on Twitter, it's at Baldvinny, right?
Yep.
Baldvinny. With a Y, by the way. Yep. You follow the off season, you look on Twitter. When Joe Auriemma and myself, when we went down to spring training, there was a lot of buzz like, is Vasquez going to be okay? I don't know about Granderson. He's not good against lefties. Everybody was questioning all the moves in the off season. If you asked us, and if you listened to podcasts in the past, we were excited. I mean, losing Damon and Matsui, those guys were warriors, okay? They're getting up there. I think the Yankees getting a bit younger. Randy Winn isn't young, but, you know, a guy like Granderson who's 28, a guy like Gardner who's a spring chicken, we just thought that the season was going to get off to a great start, and we thought Vasquez would be fine. The problem is, and I want to hear what a Bleacher Creature has to think, and I'll shut up in a second, but the problem is everybody's stuck in 2004 with Damon hitting that grand slam. Mm-hmm. I think it was the first pitch he threw out of the bullpen after he relieved Kevin Brown. So what's the feeling from the Bleacher Creatures about not only the fast start to the season, but the rest of the season as well?
Well, you know, I think it goes a lot of different ways. 2004 was a different year for Vasquez. He was a different type of pitcher. The needs from the team for him were a lot different. You're coming in here now, and he shouldn't have as much pressure as he did to perform. You're coming in as a fifth starter. It's okay to get off to a rocky start. He's going to do more for this team than Melky ever did, you know, or ever could. And Melky's a fan favorite. You know, people love guys with the walk-offs. Melky was hot. He was really hot. But when Melky was cold,
he was ice cold,
you know. So I think Yankee fans, the real Yankee fans, will show some patience. Most Yankee fans love the panic button.
Oh.
You know, the first two starts.
They have one for each finger.
Right. You know, it gets a little crazy in that regard. But, I mean, you look at our team. You hear guys complain about Brett Gardner. I mean, our three outfielders hit 7, 8, 9 in our lineup. That's a testament unto itself right there. Brett Gardner doesn't need to hit for average. Get on base. Your speed and your defense are really what keeps you on this team. You know, and I think the depth that we have, especially with the young guys, like bringing in a guy like Cervelli, I think I felt worse for him as CeCe's failed no-no than I felt for CeCe.
Yeah.
You know, you want to see a guy like Cervelli be behind the plate for an achievement like that. That builds his confidence. That's what makes him want to play for the Yankees, and that instills the passion and the pinstripes that players feel. Mm-hmm. It's types of moments like that, you know? Like, even a Nick Swisher, the guy's been a journeyman. He's played for a bunch of different teams, but you come here, and you get the relationship with the fans, and then you
Swisher
win a ring.
Gets it too.
Then
Swisher,
you win a ring? Are you kidding me? That's like,
it.
He is a Yankee. He will be a Yankee forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he keeps it. And without an injury to Xavier Nady last year, you don't even hear from the guy. You know, but that's the unique team that we support. You know, the only with the Yankees where you have an opportunity like that, you know, you go from being riding the bench to being on How I Met Your Mother.
It's really how it goes. If he was on the Royals, he would not have been on that show.
Right.
That's absolutely right. If Joe Torre had all his success with a team in the Midwest, he would not have all these celebrities, and he wouldn't be in L.A. right now.
I'm
convinced.
Absolutely.
He is Hollywood Joe because he was the manager of the New York Yankees and won 4 rings.
True.
All right. Ball Vinny, thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
BallVinny.com and on River Ave, selling his T-shirts. Please check him out there. Go to the website. Once again, www.BallVinny.com. Thanks a lot, brother.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
We'll be back with more Off the Wall right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
And a welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I am Chris Sheeran. Bald Vinny has skedaddled, and in his stead is now our, the one, the only, godfather of YesNetwork.com, Joe Orianna.
Oh, it's good to be here, Chris.
It's good to have you back. Very informative, peppy first segment.
Great segment.
With one of the bleacher creatures that is of course, Bald Vinny. Once again, you want to plug his website, www.baldvinny.com. So,
yes,
let's
sir.
Talk about Bald Vinny's love, and that is, of course, the New York Yankees. Javier Vasquez, question mark?
Yeah.
Answered. Goes out to Oakland. He needed a good start. When you hear the manager start talking about he needs a win,
yeah,
he got the win. The offense was there for him, got 3 runs in the first inning. Gave him a little confidence going down on the bump in the bottom of the first. He already had 3 runs. That had to help his confidence. That had to help him out. But he goes out there and he gets the job done. Was it a great start by all means? No. But he got the job done. He got that goose egg out of the W column.
The one thing that you really have to like from his outing is that, look, his fastball is not there yet. The velocity is certainly not there. We saw it peak at 91, 92 last night, but on average it was at 88, 89, and that's not where Javi Vasquez was last year and the year before. This is a guy who can get it up to 94, 95 miles an hour, and that just goes to show you that, you know, he was a slow starter last year. He went 2-3 in his first 6 starts, 5-7 to really start the season, and 10-3 the rest of the way. Look, he needed a good outing. He had a decent outing. You cannot, you know, that last home run that he gave up, I kind of feel like if Granderson and Cano, one of the two, makes the catch on the play before, we're not in that situation if Vasquez gets out of the trouble and pitches his 6 innings and gives up only 1 run. But really, the Yankees kind of drank some of their own medicine last night where, you know, look, they do, when they make a mistake, when other teams make mistakes, they capitalize. And that's exactly what happened to them last night.
There were 2 outs in the top of the first. The Yankees had a couple of runners on. First baseman for Oakland misses the ground ball.
Barton
misses the ground ball. Teixeira comes in to score, and they score 2 more on Swisher's single. And that's exactly what Joe's talking about. This team is off to a tremendous start. And I don't know what you could nitpick about. I don't know. Now, I haven't been around on Twitter the past couple of days because I've been busy driving all over the state of New Jersey.
Right.
But why
congratulations, by the way. Real quick, before I'm going to cut you off there. Mr. Hall of Fame. This guy is now in the Rowan Hall of Fame. Chris
yes,
Sheeran.
Rowan Radio Hall of Fame. I never thought my name would be in the same sentence as Hall of Fame, but yes, I was inducted. Obviously, it's not for the podcast, but it's for my time down at Rowan, and it was probably 3.5 of the best years of my life. So, Joe, thank you for bringing
that up. A very big congrats. Well-deserved.
But I haven't been around Twitter, so why don't you give me a breakdown of what's been going on? Are they nitpicking? Are they complaining about anything? Or are they, for once, happy about it? I mean, we heard Bald Vinny say in our last segment, Yankee fans have a panic button. Is the panic button being pushed despite the 10-3 start?
It's funny because from what I've seen over the last couple nights, Vasquez still seems to be a concern, even with a good performance. The Vasquez haters out there said, well, you know, he still only went 5 1/3, and he still gave up the 3 runs. He still gave up the home run. He needed to finish out that ball game the way he started it. You know,
it's his third start.
I know.
The Yankees have a tremendous bullpen.
And he's the fourth starter.
Yeah, and we talked before the season about a starter just going 6 innings. And the game is I'm not going to be arrogant and say every game's going to be over.
No, but that
there's going to be their hiccups. But if you get through 6,
the bullpen is great.
Yeah, the bullpen is tremendous. So
again, last night another 3 2/3 innings of scoreless baseball.
Jabba had 3 Ks.
Jabba looked great, and the last out, he struck out the first 3 batters he faced. The last out was just a weak ground ball because of that devastating slider, and he amped it up. When he first came into the ball game, his velocity wasn't, you know, where we had seen it this season and in previous seasons, you know, amping it up to 94, 96 miles an hour. And by the end, he was back up to, you know, 94, 96 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's people need to be patient. And this team is out to a 10-3 start. Last year they got out to a 13-15 start, of course, without A-Rod. But this is a time to not revel in it, because you can't get too high because it's early. You also can't get too low because it's too early. But this team, the starting pitching, hitting on all cylinders, the bullpen is doing their job. I heard Brett Gardner say it with John and Susan after the game. After one of the Ranger games, Susan got Brett Gardner after the game, and Brett said it's impossible to get 9 guys going at the same time. Brett had, I think it was the game he had 3 infield hits.
Yes.
And he said it's impossible in baseball to get all 9 guys going at the same time. You know, there's going to be a time where I'm not getting on base, or Grandy's not getting on base.
But
then A-Rod and Tex and
Jeets, they're all picking each other up.
Yeah, that's the way a lineup works, and that's how the Yankees are getting their wins right now. Solid pitching and timely hitting. They're getting 2 out hits. They're getting, you know, hitting with runners in scoring position. Cano's cooled off a little bit. And, you know, Swisher went 0 for 16. And then some reporter asked him, you slumped towards the end of the homestand. And he kind of stopped him right there and said, wait a minute, I didn't slump. What are you talking about? Hitting over 300.
Yeah.
This is the thing. This is baseball. It's very streaky. And that's what people have to understand. Now, reporters, do they have to ask that question? Maybe. But if they've ever played the game in their lives, they know that certain stretches, you get a little cold.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, the difference between the Yankees and the Red Sox right now, as you mentioned, timely hitting, you mentioned good pitching, and you mentioned a great bullpen. And the one thing that the Red Sox did this offseason was they built their core around pitching and defense. And right now, they have neither. Now, the pitching is going to come around, but the defense has been putrid. They're you know, one of the worst teams in the American League. I think they even might lead the league in errors. And what the Yankees have done is they've found players that can complement each other, play good offensive baseball while being good defensive players. Alex Rodriguez is a tremendous third baseman. Jeter's, you know, won a Gold Glove last year. Cano is one of the best defensive second basemen in the league. You know, Mark Teixeira is the best first baseman
in baseball. It's a Gold Glove infield.
It's a Gold Glove infield. And the Yankees have done it with offense and defense, and there's just not a weakness. Whereas the Red Sox, you know, if they get behind, these guys are not good hitters. And that's the difference between the Yankees and the Red Sox right now, and why the Red Sox are struggling.
Well, the Yankees, as we tape this today, Joe, surprise, surprise, are in first place.
Yes.
Half game over the Rays. That might change by tomorrow, which is Thursday. It may change on Friday. But as of right now, when we tape, the Yankees are in first place. They're off to a great start this season. And when we come back, you know what we're going to talk about, Joe?
What are we going to talk about, Chris?
We're not going to go Mets, even though they've won their past 2 and 4 out of 6. We'll talk Mets somewhere down the line. We're going to...
When we can bash them. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. We're critiquing.
Yes. We are going to talk a little Big Ben when we come back. The NFL draft is upon us. That is happening Thursday. and Friday and Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, it's a real
it's a
mess.
It's a weird one this year. But
Thursday is the first
round. On the eve of the draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers find out their quarterback will not be playing. And we'll tell you how long when we come back.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, time to talk a little NFL football. And the Pittsburgh Steelers is where we start and finish, actually. It's Big Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben, the clock strikes six.
Mm-hmm.
He gets suspended for six games by Roger Goodell. Now, this has gotten to the point where there are some rumblings that before the draft, Roethlisberger might even be dealt to a team with a top 10 pick. The Steelers are actually thinking, and I said this last week in last week's podcast, I said, I didn't know it was going to be this quick, but I said, hey, don't be surprised if Roethlisberger isn't a Steeler because the Rooneys run a class organization. Now, do they have guys like Plaxico Burress? Yes. Do they have guys from the past with questionable character? Yes. But the Rooneys are kind of like the Maras. This is why you'll never see the Steelers and you'll never see the Giants on that HBO show.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I couldn't think of it. Hard Knocks. You will not see those organizations do that kind of show. I'm not saying the show has no class, but I don't think the organizations and the ownership wants the team put out in the open like that.
Right.
If you could follow.
No, totally. And
there.
Whereas the Jets want to be out there this year, and signing a guy like Jason Taylor this week just shows, you know, it's another nice looking guy on their Hard Knocks show.
It's like a Jersey Shore episode waiting to happen. That's what Hard Knocks is going to be, especially with their ringleader Rex Ryan. You know. Good for the Jets. I mean, and he was cool. Let's not get off topic here, though. We'll get to the Jets in a second.
No, no.
We'll talk a little Jets and Giants. But first, Big Ben. I mean, I don't know if I were you, I don't know if I would be quick to cut him off like that or quick to let him go. You're talking about a guy who's won two Super Bowls. People tend to overreact. Now, what he did was 100% wrong. Okay?
Yes.
Morally.
Some of the stuff that I've read is
The Smoking
outrageous.
Gun has everything if you want to check it out. And I've
and
checked
Deadspin
it out on
too.
Deadspin as yeah. well. And the thing is, if you're a father and you have a daughter and you read this stuff, it would make you absolutely, even if you're a Steeler, especially if you're a Steeler fan, it would make you want to punch this guy through a wall, the stuff that he did. And Roger Goodell, good for him.
I really like Goodell, man. He's no nonsense.
He knows this league. You know, everybody knows this league is a cash cow, and stuff like this is just not only bad for the Steelers, but it's bad for the league. Goodell gets it. He knows it. He wants to set a precedent. Now, can he shorten this? Yes, he can get it shortened, which I don't really like. I think, you know what, you get six games, I don't care how good you're behaving with, you know, a psychologist or whatever.
I totally agree.
Guess what? You did the time. You did the crime. You did
the
time.
Right.
Yeah, do the six games. We'll see you in week seven.
And you know what? The genius of the NFL, they put out the schedule on, this week, and they, you know, the Steelers, who are a big draw, they're a big draw for,
Please tell me week seven they have a night
game. It's their first nationally televised game.
Of course.
And they have five nationally televised games. So it starts in week seven.
That's great.
Genius.
And the Steelers actually traded a seventh round draft pick to the Bucks to get Byron Leftwich back. Leftwich, of course, he backed up Roethlisberger in 2008 when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and look, Chris. Roethlisberger deserves it's a long suspension, but you know, if that's what the NFL deems he needs to do, he needs to serve his six games. They said that with good behavior, put down to a four game suspension, but I think they got it right on this one.
Would you be shocked if the Steelers dealt him in the draft?
I actually wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers cut him. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think they're that type of organization where if they want to distance themselves from somebody, no matter how good or bad.
That's starting over, though. I mean, you get rid of Roethlisberger, you're back to square one, and you might not recover from that.
But it's funny because the Steelers, it doesn't matter who's behind center. Neil O'Donnell, Bubby Brister, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, they've always been a contending team. They have a strong enough management staff. They always bring in the right players. It doesn't matter if a player is over the hill or a young player. They always seem to thrive in the Steelers system. Mike Tomlin is a very good coach, and it doesn't help that one of the all-time...
I think Tomlin's getting... I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think Tomlin's getting a little fed up with his act, too.
I mean,
you
so
see
too.
Him standing behind him in those press conferences, and he's like, I can't believe I'm standing here, and I have to, you know...
It's really a telling sign when the greatest quarterback in the history of your franchise, Terry Bradshaw, has a beef with Ben Roethlisberger. And that, it's actually, from Terry's standpoint, he said that it's more Ben with him, which is ridiculous. You know, Terry was just trying to, you know, guide a young quarterback in the right direction. And for Ben to take it out of context and to be hating on a guy like Terry Bradshaw is just ridiculous.
Wow.
And that says a lot about his character.
Putting the Steeler uniform on, you correct me if I'm wrong, but putting the Steeler uniform on is kind of like putting a Yankee uniform on. The Steelers have a rich tradition.
Yeah.
They have 6 Super Bowl rings. Terry Bradshaw is just looking to protect the brand.
Yeah.
And Roethlisberger's not doing anything when he goes out and gets obliterated and starts, you know, objectifying women the way he does to protect the Steelers brand. All he's doing is tarnishing it. Just, you know, they only have the decal on one side, and with Ben, it's going to be painted over in no time.
You know, Chris, this whole, you mentioned before about the top 10 pick, and people might think I'm crazy for saying this, but if I'm the Rams...
I was thinking the same thing.
If I'm the Rams...
If I'm Spags, I am trading that pick, and I'm getting him in there as fast as possible.
This is a guy that's already won 2 Super Bowls, is a proven quarterback. Yeah, he comes with some baggage, but look... He might mature over time as he gets more years under his belt, and you know this situation might put him in the right direction. If you can land Ben Roethlisberger, trade away your number one overall pick, and still get the 18th pick to shore up your offensive line or your defense, where there's going to be a lot of good linebackers still left at 18, and a lot of good defensive players at 18, cornerbacks and safeties. You know what? That's 2 for the price of 1, if you ask me.
Hey, it's better than rolling the dice on a Sam Bradford, who you don't know who could how he's going to turn out.
Absolutely agree with you, Chris.
So, all right. So let's change our focus here. Big Ben, good luck.
Big Ben of the Parliament.
Yeah, Big Ben, Parliament.
Just can't get over, kids.
Can't get left. The Jets and Giants, of course. The Giants with the 15th pick overall.
Yes. Linebackers. Yeah.
Rex Ryan said the Jets have no needs going into the draft.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, it's just the draft is just gravy for the Jets at this point.
If that's the mentality he has, trade them all away.
Yeah,
trade all those picks away.
Trade them to the Giants. We'll just corner the market on middle linebackers. One of them will pan out.
You know. They're going to have to draft 2 linebackers in the first 3 rounds. They're going to have to.
Yeah.
They have no choice. And they, you know, everybody, you know, says, you know, a need, you know, I don't think they need a running back. That's another thing that I heard. In the NFL now, I don't think you need a running back. But the offensive line was not impressive last year. This was an offensive line that was one of the best in the league at one point. And, you know, during the Super Bowl year, they, you know, they were awesome. And I think they might. That's a need for them as well. I think linebacker, I think secondary and offensive line.
All right, so Giants, linebacker, secondary, offensive line. Jets, nothing.
According to Rex Ryan, they need nothing.
Oh, God.
They're really going for it this year, though. You got to give them a lot of credit.
They are. They paid off Antonio Cromartie's child support. Nice little $500,000 check.
It's just in. They signed Leonard Little.
Oh, boy.
Just kidding.
Yeah, that's just awful. But I think we could expect some good things from both teams in this draft when it happens tomorrow. It's always exciting watching the draft, always. And no matter who they pick, there's always a boo. You could just guarantee that. I mean, they should have, what are those bets called? that we were doing for the Super Bowl. What, they're called something, I forget.
Prop bets.
There should be a prop bet for a boo for a draft pick for the Giants or Jets. I think that should, actually, we should have a prop bet for that right now.
Let's do it. How many, if the Giants draft a guy and he gets booed?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm actually going to say they're going to cheer.
They're going to cheer?
Because I think the Giants fans know, they're smart. They know that they need a linebacker. Okay. Jets fans boo at everything.
All right.
If Dan Marino got picked over Ken O'Brien, they'd boo. I mean, it's just, that's how they are.
But they don't need anything, Joe.
Of course they don't need anything. But look, the Jets, with their experience and the youth coming in, it's going to be a nice mix because they were 30 minutes away from being, you know, in the Super Bowl. And you just have to consider them, you know, even though they were 9-7 last year, you got to consider them a Super Bowl contender. The Giants, again, I think the Eagles made a bad mistake getting rid of Donovan McNabb. And I think that the Giants are going to be right back there, right back to be contending for a playoff spot. And once they get in the playoffs, who knows what happens.
Yeah, well, the Redskins are going to be up there contending for a playoff spot,
with a number four pick as well. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, so... And Mike Shanahan, let's not forget about him. Cameron White, Jared Boschnack, they're going to be happy campers this year. They're our co-workers here who are diehard, lifelong Redskin fans.
I'll tell you this, that Redskin team would have won the AL, would have won the NFC East. I'm in baseball. They would have won the NFC East in 2005 and 2006. I don't know about now.
Oh, boy. All right, you know what, Joe? We're going to get through an off-the-wall podcast without mentioning someone. You know who that is?
Who?
Tiger Woods.
Oh!
Oh, I just mentioned him. Oh
Chris,
no.
What are you doing?
But you know what? It is looking to divorce.
Oh.
And we discussed that.
She got her her attorney, and he sent the papers over and said,
Oh, God. I think that's the best thing that could happen to Tiger, so he just get on with his life, have, supervised visitation with his kids, like Robin Williams did in Mrs. Doubtfire. I don't think Tiger's going to be dressing up like a woman to take care of them, though.
Yeah, that was on the other day. Still a classic film.
Oh, that's a great movie. Dude, could you make me a woman? Oh, honey. I'm so happy.
Who did this to you? Uncle Frank and Aunt Jack.
All right, before we start rolling this into every movie line possible, we're going to wrap this up. We hope you enjoyed it. It's a very quick off-the-wall podcast this week, but we had a special guest, Bald Vinny. Once again, his website, www.baldvinny.com. You could also catch Bald Vinny on the What's Brewin' podcast. That would be George Brew. You could find him on Facebook.
I just want to make a quick announcement. I have changed my Twitter handle. I am no longer at Joe Auriemma NYY. I am now at Joe Auriemma Yes.
Okay, so we're all kind of following
with the same thing.
All right, so I'm at Chris Sheeran Yes. Joe is at Joe Auriemma Jace. And it's at Kim Jones Yes.
At Yes Kim Jones.
At Yes Kim Jones and at Bob Lorenz.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be associated with us. I spit on you, Bob Lorenz. And it's, don't forget, Jack Curry Yes.
And at Jack Curry Yes, too. So at Jack Curry Yes, at Bob Lorenz, at Yes Kim Jones, at Joe Auriemma Yes, at Chris Sheeran Yes. Now, you have everyone's Twitter. There's no reason why you shouldn't be following us. And at Bald Vinny, V-I-N-N-Y.
And a shout out to my good buddy, at Glenn G and Grandy.
What would we do without Glenn?
I don't know, man.
We got to get him on here for hockey.
We do.
Hockey playoffs. Maybe the second round.
You know, he.
By the way, how are your Devils doing? Hello?
They're about to play 5 more games with the Rangers.
Yeah, that's true. And you'll join us on the golf course, buddy boy.
Oh, boy.
You could thank the Rangers for giving you the Flyers in the first round.
Brutal.
What is with your boy Brodeur?
You know, it's funny because I'm not making excuses for the guy, but first of all, in the years where the Devils won the Cup, a 2-0 lead would
safe
stand.
Yeah,
it doesn't work like that anymore. He's not the same Martin Brodeur he once was. Maybe, you know, look, he did win 45 games and have 9 shutouts during the season, Chris, but that could be part of the problem.
And I went to that Islander game, the last game of the season, and that looked like, you know, an NHL team.
Total domination.
An NHL team against a high school team. That's how, sorry, Glenn, but that's how bad the Islanders look.
And, you know, here's my whole thing about the Devils. Maybe him winning 45 games and having 9 shutouts and playing 72 games in the regular season, he just can't hoof it anymore. He's a 38-year-old man. I mean, you know, they should think about, you know, next year if he, you know, comes back and, you know, has a Martin Brodeur year, just, you know, keeping him back.
I mean, just get in the playoffs. You know, hockey. Look at hockey playoffs every year. The Sharks are the first seed out west. There's nothing going on in the NBA playoffs. Nothing. There's no surprises. Chris. But in hockey, look at it. The Sharks and Avalanche tied at 2.
Yeah.
The Predators have a 2-1 lead over the Blackhawks. The Devils are down 3-1. The Devils are the 2.
Right.
The Sabres are the 3. They can go down 3-1 tonight.
And let's not forget, when the Devils won their first cup in 1995, they were 6. They beat the Bruins in the first round.
It doesn't matter what seed you are.
And they still swept the Red Wings.
Just as long as you get hot at the right time in the playoffs, you're fine. You just get in. That's the NHL playoffs.
They need to rest.
Just get in.
And the other thing is their offense is just awful. This is a team that has Ilya Kovalchuk and Parisi, you know, Zajac and Elias. How are they not scoring?
I don't know. But it's not over yet. They're down 3-1.
It's not.
Stranger things have happened.
It is hockey. Anything can happen.
Yeah, Brodeur, you come back to Jersey, you get a win in New Jersey. All you got to do is win in Philly and come back and win it in Jersey again. So we'll see. Maybe next week we're talking about the Devils advancing, or we're talking about, you know, the second round with Glenn. I think we should do that. We should bring him in for the second round.
Definitely.
If anybody knows anything about hockey at the S Network, it's Glenn.
It is Glenn. Yeah. Glenn is a... He's a Mensa hockey man.
Yeah, he's a historian, you know.
It's about all he's with Mensa.
Oh, boy. I didn't say it, Glenn.
That's where Ben Roethlisberger is right now, a Mensa meeting.
Yeah. Hello. Maybe that motorcycle accident did something to him. Who knows?
Oh,
hey,
boy.
Ben, wear a helmet. All right, so that's going to wrap up the Off the Wall podcast. I kind of went on a tangent there with the NHL and NBA playoffs, but I think that needed to get in there. I had to give Joe a little ribbing about his Devils.
Thanks.
But we'll be back next week, hopefully with those first-place Yankees. We'll talk more about them. We'll get the Mets in here as well. For Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. We hope you enjoyed our special guest today, Bald Vinny. And like I said, we'll be back next week with more Off the Wall here on YesNetwork.com. What are you doing?